All right, so yeah. So let's go to the creed. So the readings may seem like they don't have a whole lot to do with what's just happened, but in fact they do. Okay? The readings are about spreading the gospel. And what just happened here was the gospel being spread. Amen. It's about healing. It's about people being set free. Amen. So while it may take a while to get there, I'm going to get there. So just bear with me on this, because it may seem like it's taking a while. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for what you've already done here. And we thank you for setting our hearts to receive the word that you've sown since the beginning of time. And Lord, we thank you for setting our hearts to receive that word. Lord, we thank you for making our hearts that soil that will receive that word and will bear much fruit. And Lord, we thank you that our hearts will bear much fruit. And that fruit will show forth your love in all the world. And that love will change the world around us. Now, Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Going to start off by telling you a story. It's a strange story. But bear with me, because it is a strange story. 1967, January 25th, just a month after Christmas, in South Ashburnham, Massachusetts, in the cold north, way colder than we are now. Maybe not so cold as we were this week. Never mind that. There was a lady named Betty Andreasen. She lived in a farmhouse with her seven children and her mother and father. And she was cooking dinner one night around 6:30. And the power started to flicker. And there was flickering of lights in the house, and all of a sudden, the whole house went dark. The house went dark, and this light started to shine in the window. This bright light shone in the window. It was like a blinding white light. And, of course, she did what any person who hasn't been watching movies for years would have done, and she ran to the window and stared out to see what was coming. And she saw what she would later describe as five figures that were about 5 feet tall, gray-skinned, moving through the cornfield towards her house with a strange hopping motion. As they got to her house, they passed through the walls. They passed through the walls. Without opening the doors. This is what she said. When they got into the house, they somehow put her seven children and her parents in some kind of trance-like state where they couldn't move. And they immobilized Betty. They never spoke, but they communicated through some form of telepathy. Because they communicated with each other and with her. They removed her from her home. They took her from the farmhouse down the road a few miles into a disc-like vehicle. Which left the planet. And went to what she later described as a, quote, mother vehicle. I do not make this up. This is all thoroughly documented on multiple very reliable websites. I practiced keeping a straight face when I said that many times. I should have done a little bit more. The story goes on that after several hours of experimentation, they returned her home. Her family had no recollection of being in this strange state of suspended animation. And she had very hazy memory of the events. Although she did recall some things, she had some strange scarring, some bruising. And she did recall certain things, which she reported the event to certain people. There were some, she went through lots of hypnosis, a couple polygraph tests, decided that she wasn't lying. Some people think she was abducted by aliens. She told lots of people about this. She said she felt like she had to. Okay. Now, did people think she was crazy? Well, clearly. Clearly people thought she was crazy. Now, actually, what I said was completely true. This is all very well documented, and you can find it on all sorts of websites online. The Betty Andreasen alien abduction in 1967 is all... it's all out there. It's a very legitimate story of alien abductions. One of the earliest well-documented stories, whatever. Okay? It's all out there. This woman believes that she was abducted by aliens. It's what she believes. There are polygraphs that have been taken. She's gone through hypnosis, all this kind of stuff. And the polygraphs say that she believes she was abducted by aliens, because that's what a polygraph will do. It'll tell you if you believe you're lying. And she thinks she's telling the truth. Okay, because that's what a polygraph does. It tells you if you think you're lying. She thinks she's telling the truth. There's not a test to say if you're out of your mind. But she told all sorts of people about it, thinking, you know what, these people are going to think I'm out of my mind. Was she concerned about that? Maybe a little. Maybe when she went and told all these people, hey, I just got kidnapped by little green men. Of course, they were gray, but never mind that. They wore blue jumpsuits with a little eagle on it and big blue belts. It's really interesting. Never mind. She went and told everybody about this. She told rocket scientists about it. They told her she was insane. She told all sorts of... she ended up marrying somebody else who said he was abducted by aliens. Never mind. She told all sorts of people about this. Why? Why would you go off and tell everyone this completely cockamamie story? One, she believes it. Two, if it is true, which she clearly thinks it is, it's pretty stinking important. There's aliens out there. There's otherworldly beings out there flying around there that we don't see. And some... and at some point in the future, they may all of a sudden appear. And when they do, the results could be either really, really good or really, really bad, depending on where you line up on their side of the, you know, pleasant alien, unpleasant alien line. If you've made friends with the little green men, their revelation may be a really good thing. And if you haven't, it could be like Independence Day all over again. Buildings blowing up, you know, mass destruction. It could be just horrible. Okay? And if you're the one person who knows that this is going on, maybe you ought to tell somebody. Maybe it's like a duty. Maybe you actually have like an obligation. Maybe it's like a commission. This woman was in her kitchen cooking something. All of a sudden the lights went out and there was this blinding white light and she was abducted by aliens. And for God knows what, actually she was a Christian and she talks about, this is also not made up, you can go and read the interviews, there's a lot of them. She said, I was terrified, but I knew that God would be with me until the end of the age, and so I wasn't scared. Okay, well, whatever. I don't know quite what to make of that, but okay. There she is. She says, I need to tell people about this. There's this blinding white light. She's taken up into an alien spacecraft, whatever. She comes back and she says, I need to let people know. Now, if you were in that position, maybe you might feel the same way. But the fact is, honestly, when we look at it, all of us are. Because we were in darkness, we have seen a great light, we know that there are otherworldly beings out there, and there will come a judgment day. And where you line up based on your relation to that otherworldly being will determine your fate on that day. And we have an obligation to talk about it. And that's exactly what the gospel is talking about. Because when the prophet speaks and says, talking about in the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, which are the ancient divisions of the land of Judah and Israel, says, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region of shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We may think, though, that that woman is absolutely out of her mind, and truth be told, she very well may be. But there's a whole lot of people who think that about us. You can go online and look up alien abductions, and you can cast all the stones you want about how crazy those people are, but then you go look up all sorts of atheist websites, and you can see the same sort of people saying the same kind of things about Christians. And very sort of derogatory and inflammatory comments about what we believe. And the fact is, it doesn't change my beliefs in the least. There is a God. He has changed my life. I know I was in darkness. I know I was in sin. And I have seen that light. He called me out of it. He changed me. And I know that there will come a day, whether it is in my lifetime or whether I die and I face him before he returns to this earth, that I'm going to have to stand before him and face a judgment. And that will come for all of us. Amen. And we're going to have to face a judgment that's far greater than when any kind of alien force arrives and shows themselves with laser beams and ray guns. And we need to be prepared for that. And the world needs to be prepared for that. And we need to be telling people about that. Amen. And yeah, they may think we're crazy. But we need to tell them whether they think we're crazy or not. Maybe we should take a lesson from the page of those people who have been abducted by aliens, who've had contact with otherworldly beings. Their encounter so changed them, they don't care. They'll go and tell anybody who'll listen. Yeah, you think I'm crazy? Yeah, well, I don't care. Yeah, I think I'm crazy? I don't care. In our Old Testament reading today, the conclusion of it was Amos 3, verses 1 through 8. What I want to focus on is verses 7 and 8. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secrets to his servants the prophets, "A lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy?" The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? Now, you may think, I'm not a prophet. And in fact, I'm not a prophet. I'm not one of those people who just walks into a room and starts prophesying over people. I kind of wish I was. That's an incredible gift. It's a powerful gift. It's a dangerous gift. Kind of wish I had it. But Scripture says, God has spoken, who can but prophesy? So, how can I not but prophesy? Well, the fact is, I can speak Scripture. And Scripture is prophetic. So even if I can't, because God hasn't given me the gift of prophecy, He has given me the gift of Scripture. And I can speak Scripture over my friends, over my neighbors, over my coworkers. I can look at Carrie and say, by his stripes you're healed. I can look at everyone I know and say that God has anointed me to preach good news and to proclaim liberty to the captives, sight to the blind, from Isaiah 61. I can say what the gospel said. Say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I can say what we saw today in church, that chains are broken and people are set free. Amen. You know what? They may say we're crazy, but I don't care, because I know what's coming and I want to be on the right side of it. And we need to make sure that as many people as we can get on the right side of it are on the right side of it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.